turn it off.
Five minutes fast.
Well, you can't, that's the only thing about atomic clock. You can't set it 5 minutes fast. It'll revert all the way back to the regular time. So I gotta stop at 10:10. 10:10, I gotta stop at 10:10. Y'all need to make ready for your office. You sit over there next to Esther. But thank y'all all for coming. We got a good big crowd. I told you it was gonna be kinda scrunched in, but that's okay. When Danny comes, he'll sit right there for you too. Unless you're saving that seat for somebody.
Johnny sits there.
Yeah, Johnny, oh, that's right, okay. Anyway, we'll find a seat for him. All right, we're in the Book of Revelations. We've went through the first chapter. Now, what we're gonna do is, I want you to read the Church Age book, each individual one. I mean, the individual sermons, not the Church Age book, the Church Age series. All right, and then what we're gonna do is I'm not gonna spend a lot of time with each one as far as the characteristics. We're gonna look at what the scripture says, but then we're gonna back up and go through like Brother Branham did. I mean, really, we just need to highlight it. Brother Branham covered every church age thoroughly, how he came up with the dates, how he came up with the ministers of that time, and we will spend time doing that. I want to get on over into the Book of Revelation, because the church ages, even y'all that came out of that Sunday school class, y'all just came, y'all doing the church ages in there, weren't you? Yeah, that's one thought. So be fresh in your mind. And I love to read the Church Age book, and I know y'all love to read it too. But make sure you listen to the or read the individual sermons. All right. So let's start with verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen. So what was John commissioned to do? John was commissioned to write what he see, what he was seeing. Okay. There's only one time he can't write what he's seeing. And that's special for me and you in the end time. Okay, everybody got that? We'll get that in Revelation 10. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. These seven stars are the angels, are messengers. So there are seven different specific, hey baby, you're like a little ninja. Seven different, distinct, and individual messengers to each age.
Right.
We didn't know them until a prophet of God came in the end time and told us each one of them's name. Because like I said before, I don't think Paul, Paul probably knew he was the beginning of something, but that he was the Ephesian church age messenger, I doubt he knew that. Irenaeus, none of these knew, because remember, even Luther and Wesley, they passed away before it was denominated, but they knew that there was a great work going on, but now we've still got Lutheranism, and this morning I was privileged to speak at a Methodist church and the Brotherhood, so on John Wesley and the founder of their faith, and each one has a different time, but I'm telling you, even as we're talking upstairs, and we'll talk a little about this afternoon, finish up on revival, Paul didn't begin the revival in the Ephesian church age. The people did. One man has never started. Now there's a man that has spearheaded, but not started. Remember, in a revival, it started. Luther's revival began when the people got enough of the Catholic Church, and then God anointed Martin Luther to preach a message, and then the people come out. Right? Same thing with me and you. Same thing with what's got to happen today. You and I have to call for a revival, and not one man's going to spearhead it.
Right.
No. That's over. Brother Brown spearheaded the healing revival. Right? Mm-hmm. But it was because, I told you before, history will prove that God set a healing ministry during the early part of the 1900s because the medicine wasn't keeping up with the sickness. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the call for the people was, God, we don't have a hospital on every corner that treats every little illness back in the 1900s and the early 1800s. So the people cried out for a healing minister. The people cried out for God to heal them, right? So God sends somebody to spearhead that. And we know that Brother Ram did that, but then he also brought his message. That's where people don't give him credit with continuing on with a revival that we're under, which is a word revival.
Right.
But the healing revival started because people were sick and they couldn't get relief from the doctor. So they started crying out to God. Listen, that's why Brother Ram said the bride does better under persecution. We're not persecuted today.
No.
No. Right. No, this is not. You might have little problems, but that ain't persecution. Persecution is like this during Columbus' age, when they put you in prison, it wasn't to judge you, it was to kill you. There was no judgment. The judgment was you went into the lion's den or you went into the arena and you died, you know, because you were a Christian. So that was, and we'll go through that with the characteristics of each church age. So he gives us seven different men, and he gives us seven candlesticks because look, and don't get me wrong, they're the same, but it's separate. He has the stars in his hand, and then he's got this.
Right.
But now, it's not the Holy Ghost in that one person. It's the Holy Ghost in the people. Crying out for someone, and then God anoints a spearhead, or anoints the seven men to bring the message. Well, who carries on the message? Listen, Brother Brown's been dead for 60 years. 55 years, 65 years, something like that. 1965 or now. He's been dead a long time. 55 years. But his message is stronger now than it was then. There was no message churches everywhere when he was here.
Right. That's right.
Right? Right. But they are now. Mm-hmm. So who's carrying it on? The people, the voice. Because remember, the Bible says Revelation 10 in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, but you've got to declare that in the days of the voice of the first messenger. But now you got to remember, Revelation 10:7 is different because it says the mystery. One mystery of God will be finished. Paul didn't finish a mystery. Irenaeus didn't finish a mystery. They finished a mystery for their age. Mm-hmm. But not a final mission, not a final mystery. Mm-hmm. There were many mysteries. And remember, down in this middle church age, and we'll read it, you got a name, but you're dead, and all these different things. But you know what? God just kept on moving. What? Through the people. Columba died before his church age even started. So it had to be the people that took the message and went into that church age with that message. So it's always going to be the people. Right. It was a one-man message at one time. It's not anymore. It's a many-membered body of Jesus Christ. All one-man ministries are gone.
Right.
Served their purpose, but it's the voice that carried on behind it. Same way with Paul, Irenaeus, Martin. Because they came, remember, the messenger comes at the end of the age. Paul comes at the end of the age of Pentecost to bring the message to Ephesus, brought a great and powerful message. Well, I think he died in what, 66, AD 66, somewhere in there, 69, 66. Paul's dead before AD 170, way before, so who carries on his message? The people.
Until they don't.
Yes, well, until the falling away starts. Until the falling away starts, like Cerinthius, saying that Jesus wasn't God, you know, he was a demon god or a second person, and Irenaeus hears that they're in the same house together, and Irenaeus runs out the door and says, I ain't going to be in there with that guy because God may, you know, drop the house down on top of him because of his message. Well, see, that message came to Irenaeus, the pure unadulterated word came to Irenaeus for his age.
That's right.
Right.
But it was for his age. You and I, yeah, it's for our age, but here's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be up here, not in the church ages. We're supposed to be up here called out of the church ages. But let's read then the characteristic. You got seven angels or seven messengers and seven church ages. And it's the oil in every church age, the Holy Spirit in every church age, leading the people through the messenger that God sent on the earth to bring the message. Everybody got that? So you are a recipient of the seventh angel's message, All right. But we have a second part of that seventh angel's message.
That's right.
According to the church age book, you and I have a second part of that, that we're supposed to fulfill the seven thunders. We're supposed to be the voice of God in the age. We're supposed to carry this thing on to the coming of the Lord, not another church age.
Right.
Not another messenger. We're to carry this thing on, sweep it on, Brother Brown said, to the coming of the Lord.
Revelations 10, 8 through 11.
That's
Revelations 10, 8 through 11.
There's no messenger left.
No, there's no messenger after that.
There's no messenger after.
It's John reading the book and going.
And John is a type of, look, John is a type of every person. Yeah. How great is that? He's a type of every, if there's a million in each one of these, just say for a number, then John typed all 7 million bride. Wow, what a great thing. That's why he commissioned John to write what he saw, the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. Now see, that's a great thing. We got to realize in our mind, the Bible, the way you're looking at the Bible, was not written until right in here, 1500s. Was when the Bible was compiled and you're able to read it. Read what John wrote. Read what this one. Now listen, it was scattered all through here in different things. But as it was put into a Bible by Tyndale and some of the different ones in the 1500s, then they started reading the Bible. My point is, you and I have come to a place, we've got the full Bible, we've got the full prophet's message that reveals the Bible, right? Excuse me. And it tells us every characteristic, every church age and how it lasted, and every church age messenger. That's what God wanted to reveal, but he had to reveal it in the last church age, because this is when we need it.
Yes.
Think about that. Listen, Martin Luther's not responsible for John Wesley's doctrine. He died. He can't do anything about that. He was responsible for back here. He was trying, see, look, pure word, getting a little worse. Brother Brown said, dark ages, just saying you're a Christian, put you to death, right? Then Martin Luther comes out, the people's crying out for a deliverer because they've been through all them dark ages for 1,000 years. Here comes Martin Luther, Brother Brown said, with a little bit of light. He wasn't responsible. Listen, he wasn't responsible for taking us back to Paul. Because he didn't. He still baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He still baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Early church still baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's not what Paul preached.
That's right.
Right.
But they weren't required to take us back to here. Malachi 4 was required to take us back to the faith of the fathers. That's why it fell on Brother Branham to preach away the doctrine of Trinitarianism, eternal hell, all the different things that had come into view, that these people were not responsible to take us back to here. But now this man right here, according to Malachi 4, he's to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the children, babies, back to the Pentecostal fathers. What? Word of baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. No Trinitarian doctrine. They didn't have those things back here.
Right.
Sure, they were little sayings that went out. But until they come up in 300 and 600 AD in Nicaea, you didn't have any of that. Well, see, Luther then was required to bring a church out under the just shall live by faith. No novenas, no Hail Marys, no say this, all that, no works, all right? But by faith, the just shall live by faith. That's all he was required, not to carry us back to here. John Wesley, because I'm telling you this, so when we read this, we'll see how God set these church ages up. John Wesley, sure, he built on Luther. But he didn't preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost like the Pentecostals did. John Wesley called it words. Don't drink tea, don't drink this, don't do this, don't do that. Right? And he wasn't required to take us back to here. Right?
Right.
But this man in this church age here, he's required, according to Malachi 4, to carry us all the way back to start down here. And work our way up, not to fall as they did before. But to go from here, go from here to the cornerstone to the headstone.
Amen.
That's the whole key.
Right.
We're headstone people. But we had to be brought back to here. This is not the foundation.
That's right.
Part of the wall. That's right. This is not the foundation. Part of the building.
That's right.
But when he's required, this spirit is required to take us back to the foundation, now we start building the building. Zerubbabel had to clean off the temple. Mm-hmm. And start on the foundation that was built, mm-hmm. and built this all the way up.
Yes.
Right? So that's our requirement. Like it or not, we're not another church age. We can't go in under Martin Luther. We can't go in under John Wesley. We can't go in under a healing campaign. That just gets you healed. It just makes you feel good, but that's only temporary. When he takes us back to the faith of the fathers, buddy, he's took us back to where we're talking about power. These people had power in the Word of God. Why? Because they didn't have all the scruples that you and I have to deal with. Right? So let's start reading a little bit. And read the characteristics of these church ages. Like I said, I'm going to stop just a minute and comment, but I'll review the church ages later on when we come back. All right? Oh, and next Sunday, Brother Joe will be doing Sunday school. I'll be at Brother Dutch Scott's. Then on March the 20th, I think we're going, I don't think, I know, we're going to Oklahoma for a few days. See Brother Claude. Unto the angel of the church of the Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So who's the he? God.
Right.
Listen, God's in every church age. Remember, he's in the midst with his outstretched hands, and it's just as powerful this way as it is this way. God doesn't diminish power as his hands go out. No. No, he grows more and more. Because remember, our church will be the most powerful church because we're heading toward a body change. Not just a resurrection. Right. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Now remember, this is first church age, a pure church age. One that Paul set up. John is writing about, and then remember, John, when he gets finished on Patmos, he goes back to Ephesus, and he pastors the church until he dies. But what does he do? He carries on what Paul started. Right? He doesn't bring a new message. That's the problem with today. Everybody's wanting to bring a new message because they think this guy's not the one to do it. They're trying to bring their own new message or something different or what? No. Listen, seven stars, seven messengers. They had to be seven people put on this earth with a characteristic to lead the church age. I don't care who you are.
Right.
These people that deny that it's Brother Branham, either they think they're the person or they're looking for somebody else.
Right.
Folks, we ain't got time to start looking for somebody.
Yeah.
We got to start believing that it's already here.
Yeah.
And look, excuse me. I got fiery with them Methodists this morning. No. Yeah, right. They would have got scared and run out the door.
You want coffee?
Thank you, though. I know thy works and thy labor. He's telling, hey, I know what you're doing. I know what's going on. And thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Right.
Like Cerinthus and Irenaeus. And of course, Irenaeus is at the end of the... Irenaeus does come at the end of the Ephesus church age and brings a message, but what does he bring it from? He brings it from Paul, brings it back. We'll read that later on about how they do. Alright. And how can thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say the apostles and are not, like the different ones. Reading the Bible, reading the book of Acts. Who was that? There was Simon the Tanner and all these different ones that followed. You know, followed the message of the day. Mm-hmm. Who was the one? The sorcerer. He wanted to buy. He wanted to, you know, he sees people getting the Holy Ghost and he says, let me buy some of that. Paul says, or Peter 1 says, Simon, I know what's in your heart. Because at one time Simon says in the Bible, he says, can you give me the Holy Ghost so that I can lay my hands on other people? They get, but they knew. God knew his heart that he was wanting to get the glory, not God.
Right.
So Peter said, out.
Right.
You're not ready for this, in other words. And if you'll notice, once that happened, you never hear of that again. It's just like period, and then God starts with something else. He's not going to waste time on people that are wasting time.
Right.
Excuse me. How thou cannot bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne. All right, we know what that is. Persevered. And hast patience. And for my name's sake. Now look, my name. The name wasn't lost in the first church age. The name got lost on up here. You'll see in a little while. So they baptized right. When Brother Branham stands up and he says, bring me in all of history before Nicaea, which is 300 somewhere in there, 300 A.D. 325, thank you. A.D., when they had the Nicene Council, he said, show me anywhere in history where anybody was baptized in anything other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. You have kept my name. The name was kept in the first couple of church ages. And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, now look, listen, he is not talking to the world. He's talking to the people in the church age.
Right.
That's why I'm telling you, when we look at this thing we call revival, that's what I was telling them this morning. We are looking for some great something to happen, when it's got to happen in you first. It's got to happen in the individual first.
Yes.
Because this is God saying to me and you, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, he didn't say that you've lost your first love.
Right.
You can't lose your salvation.
Right.
You can't lose. Once you're born again, you have the love of God in your soul. You can't lose it. But you've left it.
Yes,
you've, in other words, you've moved away from it. Remember, what does a revival do? It revives what's inside of you already, not something external. It revives what's inside. God's calling them back to, not to repent because they're sinners, repent because you ought to know better. Same way with all of us.
Right.
That's what we'll talk about this afternoon. Listen, you'll know if there's a revival starting in your life because, like Zach Black realized, I'm sorry, brother Zach Black, realized that there was something off. He was in a position that he knew that God was dealing with his heart.
Right.
Now, you may call it salvation, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. He realized something wasn't right. When you realize that something's not right, and you know as well as I do, I don't go for laundry lists, but I'm telling you, if you still don't pay your tithe, you're not in a revival. You're not even born again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basic.
Yeah.
But if you've left your first love, I told them this morning, them little Methodists, they looked at me a little strange. I said, look, you should be reading your Bible. I said, if you read it, boo devil. If you read your Bible 30 minutes a day, read it an hour. Give God 30 more minutes of your time. We're not asking for I'm not asking for you to go outside. And you know, it's like I always say, everybody puts the Ten Commandments out in the yard. The devil laughs at that. The devil literally laughs at putting Ten Commandments out in your yard. You can put them in stone. I saw one time, they had one, it was really in marble. Had a big light shining on it. But if that's not in here, Satan don't care. You can put it in front of the White House if you want to. Satan's just going to go. But it's got to be in here. Same way with a revival. You're not post a big banner out somewhere.
Right.
Devil will laugh at that. But when you start doing things that you don't normally do, that are for God, that's a revival that Satan can't stand. He cannot stand that. That's the part he can't stand. Thou hast borne in patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat. Now, he's got somewhat. God's not going to wipe this church age off.
Right.
He's still filling people with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
Listen to this. When they accepted a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, He still filled them with the Holy Ghost.
Right, yes.
Don't tell me John Wesley wasn't full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Martin Luther wasn't full of the Holy Ghost, Brother Brown said. Right. These are seven stars in God's hand. But he winked at the ignorance of man that had started these doctrines, and God, it was so prevalent, so he says, okay, I got somewhat against you. I'm going to allow that until...
Right.
Because my Bible says... Satan, this is what my Bible says. The one that wrote the Bible's right here. Mm-hmm. And he said that there would be a ministry coming in the end time that would take us back to here.
Amen.
So they weren't required. We are required. They weren't required.
Can you click on somewhat, see what it says?
Well, there's no, it's not underlined. Okay. See, anything anything that you see that's, see it's italicized, mm-hmm. there is no, that's exactly what it says in the original.
Okay.
Everybody got that? Yeah. There is no strong concordance of a different definition of somewhat. Because mm-hmm. somewhat means what? Part.
Okay.
Right. I have somewhat. against you. There's something I have against you. Not everything, like I said. He's not going to erase the church age, but now he does tell them on down here in another church age, he said, if you don't repent, I may pull your candlestick out. Watch. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the what? The first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Well, they must have repented because the candlestick stayed there.
Right.
Right? But this thou hast that thou hatest. See, that's a part of somewhat he didn't like this part, but this part he really likes.
Right.
You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and so do I. They were getting organized in here, and the power was on the preacher, not the people.
Right.
And the people... Remember, it started as a deed, a little saying, a deed. But what about this? Well, Jesus couldn't be really God and man at the same time. He's got to be that God's standing up here and he creates this other body and he makes this son, and then that son, then there's a Holy Ghost over here with a little dove, you know, fluttering around like Brother Ernest talking about. So that's just a saying. Deeds. It becomes a doctrine later.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In James it says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. All right? So we'll go right here and then we'll stop because it's 10:12 and we're going upstairs. But this thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You see that? That's a promise all the way to the future home. Because the tree of life's not in the millennium. The tree of life's in the future home. Read your Bible. Right? We know we're part of the tree of life, but the tree of life, Jesus Christ, is going to be standing right there, eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's go upstairs.